Hello and welcome to this National Life Skills Academy podcast, part of our series of short introductions to essential life-worthy skills to help guide your way. So sit back and enjoy.
The National Health Service is a free nationwide healthcare system that's one of four healthcare systems in the UK and is more commonly known as the NHS. Since its creation over 70 years ago, the NHS has provided an immense amount of support for people of all ages from all over the country and from overseas too. This is why it's so important to maintain it. Without the NHS, the healthcare that we get to experience would be a lot different, and not always for the better. Of course, there are negatives that come with the current execution of the NHS, but that doesn't mean it's a failed system. Far from it, in fact. The NHS provides the majority of healthcare in the UK. It's important to know why it's the best system to have, how it works, and, with everything that life has to offer, what can be done to help it. The NHS is publicly funded. This means that rather than the government pay for the entirety of its resources, hospitals, stock, salaries and equipment, we, the public, pay for it instead. They gain the majority of this income through tax, amongst other sources like donations and national insurance contributions. But when this is all added together, the sum can be very helpful for you, me, and the NHS as a whole. For example, 4 years ago, the NHS gained through its income a total of £130.3 billion. That's around £2,300 for every person in England. What happens afterwards is it's passed down through the system. So, let's have a look at where it goes. First of all, the money heads to the Department of Health and Social Care. Essentially, what this department is a blanket that covers all things medically related. It doesn't specialise in specific areas of the medical world, nor does it promote or relegate areas. If something needs funding, this is most likely where the funding will come from. And this includes maintaining hospitals, buying in the medicines, all the way to actually paying the doctors, nurses, surgeons and GP salaries. When this is done, and the areas, hospitals and people that need the money have received it, it moves on. The remainder of the money is then passed on to NHS England. NHS England looks to use this money nationwide. If you think about it, big cities like London, Manchester and Birmingham will often need the most care and attention. After all, they're the most populated cities in the UK. And therefore, more accidents are likely to happen. There's more likely going to be more crime and more medical emergencies. The more people there are literally equates to higher medical instances. However, this doesn't mean that less populated areas aren't affected. This is what NHS England tries to cover with its portion of the money. For a moment, let's just focus on a horrible, horrible disease. Cancer. See, the thing is, cancer doesn't just affect major populations. It unfortunately affects everyone. It doesn't discriminate, and as a result, can be found just about anywhere. This is why, in 2018 to 2019, NHS England spent £28.2 billion on services for special cancer treatments around the country. Yes, it's important to keep the city stocked and cared for, and if you live in London, you're going to want more than one hospital to go to. After all, 9 million people and one hospital doesn't make sense. But cities don't make up the country alone. Towns and villages up and down the country also need attention. This is NHS England's job. It uses its portion of the money to try to support people nationwide. And finally, the last major movement of money goes to the Clinical Commissioning Group, also known as the CCGs. These CCGs are essentially everything medically related in a specific area. This includes hospitals, GPs, maybe specialised surgeries, and everything in between. The remainder of the money is then divided by the need and demand of each CCG. For example, a larger CCG would require more funding as it would most likely deal with more people who potentially need a greater deal of attention due to the more serious medical emergencies. In a nutshell, this is how we, the public, fund the NHS and how our money is used. Now you might be thinking that it's unfair to pay what are essentially medical bills despite potentially never needing to go to the hospital. But that's where life comes in. Life is unpredictable. You never know what could happen to you or a loved one. And the last thing you'll want to deal with after going through something that could potentially be serious and life-threatening is being faced with a hefty bill. To put it simply, if you're paying for other people's medical bills now, when you're in that situation, just remember that they'll be paying for yours. So now that we know the structure, our funding, and what our money goes towards, the question we have to ask now is why? What's the point in paying it if we don't get anything from it? Well, the good news is we get lots from the NHS. More than you might think, in fact. The term healthcare doesn't just mean giving you medicine when you're sick or fixing your broken arm. It actually covers a lot more. The NHS covers a wide range of medical healthcare, from finding the nearest GP in your local area, all the way to supporting the armed forces community. What I'm trying to say is that the NHS does more than you might realise, and its benefits are very advantageous. Here are just a few of them that we get to enjoy with the NHS. Equality. As it should be, everyone deserves the right to be healthy. There should never be an instance where someone cannot live because they simply cannot access the things they need to save them. The NHS is all for equality. Research has shown that those in the UK waiting for treatments and medicines had a tendency to not put off seeking medical attention because they were aware that they could access it regardless of their financial situation, their class, employment, or any other meaningless factor when it came to their health. Next up is the value. No one can get away without paying tax that goes towards the NHS, and as a result, as mentioned earlier, there is no bill when you're done. In 2017, a Commonwealth Fund report found that in a comparison of healthcare systems with 11 other wealthy countries, the NHS ranked first in overall quality, efficiency, and access, all whilst paying the second lowest per head. And these countries weren't pushovers either. The United States, France, Germany, Norway, and Australia, just to name a few, had inferior healthcare systems to the UK. What this really says about the NHS is that if medical emergencies don't discriminate against people, then neither should the value of that healthcare. With good value also comes good adaptability. Once again, due to the public paying for the NHS, things like insurance don't come into the picture as often as they would with private healthcare systems. This means that the NHS can adapt depending on new medicines, as well as new infections and viruses. You should never have to deal with a medical emergency because your insurance doesn't cover it specifically. Insurance can only cover so much. So now, with newer technologies being implemented into the healthcare system, more people with the NHS can recover quickly without having to worry whether or not they're liable for that treatment. And with the NHS, there's a togetherness about it. In a predominantly private healthcare country, competition can arise. The reason being that when things are privately owned, they act as a business that, in order to remain open and successful, has to rely on income. There's no need for competition within the NHS, as it's all part of one big system. In some areas of the world, you might have to travel all the way across your country for a specific medicine. But again, this doesn't happen with the NHS. It shares its goals nationwide. It shares its resources nationwide. It doesn't matter if one area is doing better than the other, because it's all under the same roof. Competition breeds shortcuts, and when it comes to your health, making decisions purely based around an income is not the way to deal with it. And finally, one of the last benefits with the NHS is that patients always come first. As a patient, you are the most important thing. If you've broken your arm, you want your arm fixed. If you're suffering from tonsillitis, you want to get some medication to solve it. Whatever it might be, you are the most important thing. As mentioned a moment ago, the NHS doesn't need to make a profit to remain open. It's publicly funded, and therefore, when it comes to the actual healthcare, that is the most important factor. And within that is you. You are their primary concern, and that is the wonder of the NHS. The NHS is a glorious institute. It helps people up and down the country, despite facing constant economic struggles over the past few years. And yet despite this, it's remained undefeated, even during a global pandemic. That is the brilliance of the NHS. That is why it works wonders, and above all else, that is why we must look after it. Not just for ourselves, not just for now, but for the future and for the generations to come.
Thanks for listening. We hope you found that to be informative, and you'll sign in to listen to others in the series. We look forward to any requests or feedback. See you again soon.